Good morning, folks. Thanks for joining. Sorry. If you're joining, that's great. We've just had some great worship, some sharing. It's really good. Wonder why I couldn't see my notes. Hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you for our service so far. I thank you for the worship. I thank you that we were able to come before you and sing about our thankfulness and gratitude to you, Father. I just worship you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for instigating local church so we can come together and encourage and edify and exhort. We thank you for your word. Thank you now that we are going to gather around your word. Thank you that once we finish, we can gather around communion. But thank you right now for the seeds that we're about to plant in our hearts. Thank you for the power of these seeds, power to grow and develop and produce fruit. But we know we need understanding for that. So speak out understanding in Jesus' name so that the enemy cannot steal these seeds. Understanding so these seeds will grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hallelujah. Guess where I'm preaching from today? 1 Thessalonians 2, yes. It is week 12. Did I start this before Christmas? Oh, well, did you hear that? She said, which Christmas? That was good, Carol. I'm impressed. That was well done. That was a good one. No, it's week 12, but we had huge gaps. So, because did I tell you I was in Australia? I think I might have told you that. So we've had huge gaps. So this is week 12. I am in 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 2, and we're up to verse 13. So I'll read from 13 to 20. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoured the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Awesome. Going to be some good sermons coming. But today, I'm going to teach on a topic that I could preach on for weeks and weeks and weeks. I love it. Verse 13 is what I'm going to preach on today. And it's all about the word. All about his word. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Remember last week, I spoke about you guys being an example, someone that people could imitate or follow. How you can show the Bible to the world. Remember I said, for many, many people, you will be the only Bible that some people will ever read. That you are the only way that they will see the characteristics of God, that they will see the goodness of God, that they will see what God can do in their lives. We get that by reading the Word, because we love the Word, we respect it. They're not going to read the Word. Let's just get there straight. There's lots of people not even going to look at it, don't even own one, don't care about it. But if you're in their face, well, no. That's not the right. That's not the right phrase. Please don't be in people's faces. That wasn't the right phrase. If people can see you and relate to you and see how the word has made a difference in you, they can't argue against that. That's a great testimony. So that was about how you can display the word, the Bible, to people. Well, today, the sermon is all about that word, all about the Bible, all about the word of God. It's about how powerful it is, about what it can achieve through our belief and through our understanding. And this is not new. If you've been here for any length of time, you'll have heard me preach about this again and again and again. And you know what? If you keep coming, you're going to hear me preaching about it again and again and again. And I'm going to use some of my favorite scriptures that we use here at MGF. So if any of you have ever produced a Vic's scripture bingo card, this buzzword bingo, this might be the time to bring it out. Because some of the old favorites are going to be coming. So let's talk about this first. What does it start with? It starts with Paul thanking God about something, thanking God without ceasing, having something that you can give thanks to God for always. And he will elaborate on this later in this epistle. But here Paul is saying, there's this thing that we give thanks for all the time. And that's a great lesson for us. I could preach on that all day. Give thanks. Just give thanks. Well, you know what, Vic? I haven't got a lot to give thanks for. Are you breathing? Have you been forgiven? Have you been reconciled to God? Have you been made righteous? Have you been saved? Do you want me to go on? You've got loads to be thankful for. Oh, but. Yeah, forget your buts. You've been forgiven. You've been made righteous. You've been prospered. You've been everything. You've been everything. Is that a real word, Carl? So what's he thankful for? Here's what he's thankful for. I love it. And the way the Thessalonians received the word of God that they spoke. The way the Thessalonians received the word of God that Paul spoke out. Now, let's get something straight here, right for the start. Because I could, when I start talking about the word of God and the Bible and the scripture, some people could bring this back and say, but Vic. Paul is talking about the words he spoke to the Thessalonians. Because they didn't have a Bible then. Yes? They didn't have a Bible when Paul went to see the Thessalonians. This is Paul talking about the words that he spoke to them, the truths that he preached. But my emphasis when I'm preaching on this verse is going to be about the Bible, about scriptures. So there are two different things then, Vic. Well, no. That's not true. What did Paul preach? Paul preached about Jesus Christ and his finished work, the word, the logos, the gospel. What's the Bible all about? Jesus Christ and his finished work, the gospel. And let's remember, if we're talking about New Covenant, which is the scriptures that we really ought to adhere to because we are New Covenant believers, and then even narrow it even more, let's talk about the epistles. Who wrote most of them? The Apostle Paul. Paul wrote a hefty chunk of the Word of God. A part that we as New Covenant believers should base our lives upon. So what Paul taught about Jesus is what the Bible says about Jesus. Because Paul wrote those bits about Jesus. Can you see the logic there? Paul taught about Jesus what the Bible says about Jesus. And the Bible is the word And Jesus is the Word. And it's so interlinked that we cannot differentiate between what Paul said and what the Bible said. Both inspired by God. So yes, when Paul wrote this, you know, this was written, when Paul wrote his letters, they were written to two lots of people. This one was written to those in Thessalonica. There's one meaning for them. Who's it also written to? Us. Evelyn's quite right. It's written to her. I should actually say, unto the church of the Thessalonians and Evelyn. That's what it should say in verse 1, shouldn't it, Evelyn? It's written to us as well. Now, when Paul writes about the Word and the Word of God, when we read that in our context, it's not what Paul said in Thessalonica. What is it? It's the Bible. It's the Word. So I really believe it is legitimate to teach this verse when it's when literally it is talking about the words Paul said to the Thessalonians. I believe I can legitimately teach it from our context and say this is about the Bible. This is about the Word of God. Can you see my logic there? Now, this is really important that we get this because the understanding that the Bible is the primary way that God communicates to us today as his word is paramount. And we have to believe that. What we hold in our hand is invaluable. What you have in your phone. Here we go, let's do that now. I can see Sean's flicking through, and I know he's not on Facebook. Well, I hope he's not on Facebook. I know he's on the Word. So, you know, what you have in your hand, whether it's your Bible, your phone, your iPad, it's invaluable. And we need to realize that. So what I'm talking about is the Word of God, Scriptures, the Bible, whatever you want to call that. And what does the Bible say about itself? Let's do some of these verses that we know. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is one of my favorite words in the Bible, all. It means to the exclusion of nothing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture. Nothing in here is not counted in this verse I'm going to talk about. Was given by the inspiration of God. Yes, obviously written down by men, written down by different men, but inspired of God. That word there, inspiration of God, is one Greek word. It's theopneustos, means divinely breathed. I like that. Breathed of God. God wrote the word. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. It's all, they're all interconnected, all powerful. Paul spent his time of preparation in the desert with God, yes. He went to the first and the best Bible school. One tutor, one pupil, Holy Spirit and Paul. Paul was taught by the Holy Spirit. Also, it wasn't Jesus. Well, the Godhead's three in one. Paul was taught by the Word. Paul was taught the Word by the Word, and then he wrote the Word. I'm kind of laboring the point here, guys, but it's important. We need to get this. He was inspired by the Word and what to say about the Word and how to write the Word. What Paul said was the Word of God, and what we have in our hands is the Word of God. They are one and the same. Okay, that's how important it is. And this passage is also a warning to us. A warning that we can see in other parts of Scripture too. This says, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of it, you received it not as the word of man, not as the word of men. Why does he say that? Because the word of men is dangerous. the teachings of men, the traditions of men, should not be given the same importance, the same preeminence as the Word of God. We must elevate the Word of God above the words of men, above traditions, above our culture, above what our parents did, what our grandparents did. I remember teaching about this in India, because one time I was at a pastor's conference and I preached my little heart out about righteousness. And then they started asking me about whether they should have long and short hair or what they can and can't do and all. They started asking questions about the culture. I said, hey, anyone ask a question about righteousness? No, they were interested in their culture. Should they have certain lengths of hair? Where do the ladies sit? All that kind of thing. Now that's okay if you follow your culture. If it doesn't go against the Word of God. If it's not contrary to the Word of God. And the same, of course, is true in our culture. You know, our culture used to be okay with slavery. But then some Christians came along. And got that changed. Our culture, it was okay not to have universal suffrage. Not everybody could vote. Not everybody had equal rights. We changed our culture as things were not biblical. Now we're moving in the opposite damn direction. When our culture is moving way away from biblical principles. I remember telling the pastors in India, I said, you guys, do whatever you want. Follow your culture. If your culture says long hair, great. If your culture says short hair, great. If you've got long trousers, short trousers, I don't know what kind of trousers, but, you know, whatever you want. Follow your culture. That is fine. Until you start treating women like second-class citizens. Until you start dictating on what people have got to do that's unbiblical. Unless that culture is against or contrary to the Word of God, that's fine. But if it is, guys, I said, you need to change your culture. It needs to become biblical. Our culture cannot be given higher authority than the Word of God. And this is a big issue we are all going to have to face soon. I've put down here, have to face soon. But it's going to be sooner rather than later. And we're all going to have to face it. And I think I'm going to have to face it maybe a bit more than some of you guys being a pastor or being a minister. Our culture is changing so quick and moving away from the Word of God more and more with each passing year. I wouldn't like to be a minister in the Church of Scotland right now. They are going to be under so much pressure to move with the culture and do same-sex marriages. There are a lot of ministers in the Church of Scotland going to be making difficult decisions soon. And that's because our culture is given more authority than the Word of God. But the Word of God cannot be compared to our culture, to our traditions, to the ways of men. It is so much higher. And this verse uses a word that people just do not like today, do not think is relevant, do not want to use. Paul says, you didn't receive this as the word of men, you received it as the truth, the word of God. The word of God is truth. It is the truth. Right? There's no such thing in modern culture as the truth. No such thing as the modern world as the truth. It's a truth. This is my truth. Well, that might be your truth, but this is my truth. You know, I've mentioned this before. You know, that word that appeared in social media a while ago, starting in America, alternative truth or alternate truth. I mean, what, I'll tell you what alternate truth is. It's lies. Steal my thunder, Sean. It is. It's lies. That's what alternate truth is. See, there is truth and there's non-truth. It's black and white. It's a black and white issue. There's truth and there's non-truth. And the truth is the Word of God. The truth is Jesus. The truth is our scriptures. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's John 14, verse 6. John 1:17 says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There is such a thing as truth. And there is such a thing as the truth. And our world is moving further and further and further away from truth as it moves further and further and further away from Scripture and God's Word. There is one unchanging, eternal, universal truth that holds for every single person in this world. And that is the truth in the Word of God. The written Word. The Logos. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace and what? Full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ. Guys, we must. You know, don't often say that. This is a grace church. You know, it's not law. But we must. Here's a must. Here's a law. We must give the Word of God preeminence in our lives. Over traditions. Over cultures. Over the words of men. Over our governments. If it's unbiblical. Now, I had lots of debates with pastors and people during the COVID nonsense. There was really nothing in there that the governments were asking them to do, in my humble opinion, that was unbiblical. You know, they didn't just close the churches. A lot of people don't recognize that. The government didn't just close the churches. They closed the shops. They closed the cinemas. Heaven forbid they closed the bingo. They closed my gym. They closed everything. It wasn't hitting out at Christianity, folks. It wasn't having a go at the church. And don't get me started on putting a bit of fabric across your face, being unbiblical. Don't get me started on that. But see if the government goes unbiblical. We have to stand against that. The Word of God needs to be given preeminence, is what I'm trying to say. Why do we give the Word of God preeminence over traditions, over culture, over the words of men? Because one is truth and another is not truth. One is life-giving. One is dangerous. And we know which one is life-giving. We know which one is the best for us. It's the Word of God. And we know that other stuff is dangerous. Paul tells us that. Colossians 2:8, one of my old favorites. You should have that on your buzzword bingo cards. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Beware, look out for, watch out for philosophy of men, for what men think, for their traditions. Why? Because they will spoil you. They will seduce you. Literally, they will lead you away as booty. I really like that. They'll steal you from the Lord. Kidnap you from the Lord and from his kingdom and his ways and his healing and his prosperity and his abundance and his goodness. They'll spoil you. What does Jesus say about it? Mark 7:13. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things like do you. The traditions of men can make the word of God of none effect in your life. You cannot listen to, believe two opposing things and get away with it. That doesn't work. That leads to incivility. It's like a reed blowing in the wind. You can't on one hand say, oh, I believe the word of God, and on the other hand live like your culture says. Oh, I believe the word of God says this, but I think I will live like that because my neighbors down the street are doing it. That doesn't work. There are two ways, two philosophies, two voices that we can listen to. The Word of God or everything else. You know, I'm saying this to myself, the Word of God or the Guardian? You know, the Word of God or the BBC? The Word of God or, I'm trying to think of some philosophers, Nietzsche, Freud, who? Kant. I can't either. So we can't listen to two ways. It's either the Word of God or the Word of men. It's either the Word or the world. Only one will result in life and peace and goodness and health and prosperity. And we know which one that is. I've got John 8:31-32 next. Yes. That's why. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Continue in his words. Now, when that was written, that was what Jesus said. But for us, in our context, we read that. It's the Bible. It's the scriptures, especially the New Covenant epistle. If you continue in his word, what will happen? So you will know the word. You'll know Jesus. You'll know the Logos. And that word will make you free. What's the opposite of freedom? Slavery. Bondage. Know the word and make you free. Don't know the word, you're still in slavery, you're still in bondage. The words of men, philosophy of men, traditions of men can put you in bondage and slavery. Freedom is only found in and through, listen to this, freedom is not found in and through the word of God. Ooh, that's what you've been saying, Vic. No, I'm not. Freedom is only found in and through knowing the word of God. That sitting there on the table at home, not read, not picked up, is worse than useless to improve my life. But the second I pick it up and start reading it and start meditating it, starting understanding, things will change. Freedom is only found in and through knowing the Logos, the Word. That's a powerful, powerful wee verse. But it is the knowing. Yes, the power of God, the Word of God is powerful. But, we caveat here, only if you know it. See, Paul never actually says the Word of God will change you. Paul doesn't say to Thessalonians that the word of God changed you. What does he say? The way you received it. The way you received the word of God is what I'm thankful for, is what Paul said. It was the way the word was received that changed the lives of the Thessalonians. Jesus said it was knowing the truth that allowed to make people free. But if it is received appropriately, if it is believed, if it is understood appropriately, I say appropriately because there's loads of interpretations of the Bible, isn't there? There are some Christians that interpret the Bible that God gives you sickness. And they know that. That ain't going to heal you. That's not going to make you better. That's not going to improve your life. But if you know that God does not impart sickness, if you know that God dealt with all sickness on the cross, if you know that God wants you to live in health, if you know that God is providing healing through the cross, that will make you free. So you need to know appropriately the word of God. If it is received appropriately, if it is believed appropriately, if it is understood appropriately, then good and big things happen. And this verse closes by telling us specifically what the word did in this instance, how powerful it was. Paul writes, it effectually worketh also in you that believe. Effectually means to be active, effective, to be mighty. It actually means to be fervently effective. It was very effective, is kind of what that Greek word is saying. To believe means to have faith in, to have understanding, to believe. If you understand the word, if you believe it, if you put your faith in it, it will be active, it will be mighty, it will be fervently effective in your life. It will change you and change you for the better. Romans 12, 2, yeah, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world. Do not be molded to the words of men, to culture, to tradition. Do not be molded by what's going on around you on the news and what everyone else is doing. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is an axiom, folks. This is a you don't need to describe this any further. This is a fundamental truth. That's what an axiom is. Fundamental and unchanging truth that I think we really ought to build our lives upon. We will change for the better. Well, let me ask, does anybody want their lives to be changed for the better? Yeah, amen. We all do. Well, you want to do that? That's been transformed. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not by God zapping you. Not by the pastor zapping you. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. End of. What does that mean, renewing our minds? The word could be translated as renovating. It's renovating our thoughts and beliefs and core values that we all have up here. And we do that by getting rid of the words of men, by getting rid of traditions, by getting rid of culture, and replacing that nonsense with the word of God. By removing the lies and replacing it with what? Truth. That's mind renewal. Renovating your mind to remove the lies that we've all had in. No, we've all had the teachers that basically have said, you're a waste of space. Some of us believe that. You're not a waste of space. You're not a loser. God's made you for a purpose. God has anointed and appointed you for a specific thing to do, and he wants you to be successful at that. So you need to remove the lies that you're no use and replace it with the truth that I am worthy. I am so worthy that he has invested in me, and I am going to provide a return. So see, get rid of the lie, replace it with the truth. Where do we find truth? In the word of God. Guys, I'm on a soap my soapbox again. You know me. It's word, word, word. So important. Renovate your mind. Remove the lies that you are believing. You know, I can't do that. Yes, you can. What does the word say? The word says you can do all things. Yeah. I can't do that. I can't really afford it. Yes, you can. You're prosperous. Can't do that because I'm sick. Yes, you can because you're healed. Amen. Renovate your minds by removing the lies that you believe and replace them with the truth from God. The things that he believes about you. That's what this is. It's a simple process. But it's a process that many of us just don't want to do because you know what it does? It takes two things. It takes effort and it takes time. It is slow cooker Christianity. Most of us want microwave Christianity. That ain't the way it works. Just zap me. God, just put me in your microwave and zap me. That's not how it works. You got to take all these things and stick it with you in a slow cooker. Sometimes it's on a high setting, but more often than not, it's on a low setting. It takes a bit longer. So it's a process, guys. It takes time. But you know what? The best type of change and the lasting permanent change is slow change. I've told you I've got a personal trainer now at the gym, and he gets a little bit anxious if I lose too much weight. I feel, well, this is great. No, it's not great. You don't want to lose it quickly. You want to lose it slowly, progressively, because that's what leads to lasting change. That's what, like, with mind renewal. Little bit here, little bit here, little bit here, little bit here. Keep going. And then when somebody sees you in 6 months' time, wow, you've changed. That's the way it works. Slow cooker Christianity, unlike microwave Christianity. And the word is very, very powerful. Because it's renewing your mind to the truth in the word that is so important. I can't find Hebrews. There it is. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That was like the fighting technology of the day. Yeah. But the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any chieftain tongue, than any thermonuclear device, than any cruise missile. Oh, that's not exactly modern, is it? That was the 80s. But, you know, it's more modern than a two-edged sword. Two-edged sword. That was the most powerful fighting technology of the day. The writer to the Hebrews is saying the word's far more powerful than that, far more powerful than anything man's got. You know, I'm reading a book, the biography of Oppenheimer at the moment, the guy who helped develop the atom bomb. And we're kind of at the stage of the story when everyone is panicking because weapons are so powerful, it can destroy the Earth. Let me just get that out of the way. There is not going to be a nuclear war to destroy the Earth. Because God's the one that's going to do that. When Jesus comes back and whatever happens, I don't know. It's not going to be a nuclear war that will destroy the world. Where'd he get on for that? It's a two-edged sword. Piercing even to the divining asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word is powerful. Or rather, an understanding of it. Knowing it. One of my all-time favorites. I haven't said it for a while, actually. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things. How much things? All. Pertaining unto life, that means abundant life, Zoe life, a good life. Life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Who called us to glory and virtue? That's Jesus Christ. How do we get all these things pertaining to life and godliness? Through knowledge of him. Knowledge of the word. Knowledge of Jesus, the Logos. Scripture. Guys, this is so simple to understand. But it's a truth. I'll preach this message again and again and again. Just using different words, different scriptures, different ways of saying it, but just saying the same thing. Why am I going to say that? Because it's so important. So important, and we need to be constantly reminded of it, even when we think we know it. Everyone should read the parable of the sower every now and again. You know, if we don't understand the power of the word in our heart, we don't understand the power of that seed in the ground, we'll not understand anything of the Lord or the kingdom. That's what the Bible says. You need to understand the power of the word, or you're just not going to get it. You're not going to understand anything. It's fundamental to our walk with him. It's fundamental to living an abundant life, the abundant life that he has provided for us. It is the main way, and I say that with absolutely no doubts, it is the main way that God speaks to us today. If you want to hear from the Lord today, don't plead with him. Don't plead with me. Read the word. You know, I've warned people that are relatively new. I've warned fellowship about this before. Don't come to me saying God's not speaking to you. Because I'll just point you to the word. God can speak to you anytime you want. oh, I just feel so alone at the moment. I just feel disconnected from God. God is not speaking to me now. God can speak to you. God is trying to speak to you all the time, by the way, through his Holy Spirit. Yeah, it's just we don't listen. Yes, we can hear that way as well. However, I've had people say to me, oh, Holy Spirit told me to do this. No, he didn't. Oh, how do you know that, Vic? Because it's contrary to Scripture. Everything you hear from the Holy Spirit, everything you hear from a prophet, everything you hear from me, take it back to Scripture. If it ain't there, or if it's contrary to Scripture, it's not of God. That's why I can say this is the main way that he speaks to us. Because I believe we can pick this up and read it, and that's God speaking to me directly, speaking to you directly. Now, if you hear God saying to something to you in an audible voice, fantastic, great, brilliant. Yes, it happens. If you have an angel come to you, if you have visions and dreams, brilliant, fantastic. I get a picture now and again. That's about my moving in the Spirit. I get a picture now and again. I get a word of knowledge now and again. But I tell you, God speaks to me every day. God can speak to you anytime you want. Pick up his word and let him speak to you. Amen. The Thessalonians received the word of God from Paul, received it appropriately, received it as the word of God, received it as truth, and not as the word of men. And it was effective in their lives. But you know what else? It was effective in their church. It was effective in their city. And it was effective in their world. The same can, it should be true for every single one of us. Amen.